Is it time for a mind shift? If you don't know what that means, then join your host, Dr. Clint Haycock, a former evangelical Christian pastor and Bible college teacher of over 20 years, along the journey of deconstruction and reconstruction of faith, life, religion, and spirituality.
Hello everyone, welcome back to this, the fourth look at what I've been doing over the last few weeks, taking a look at these failed Trump prophecies. I'm your host, Dr. Clint Haycock from the Mind Shift Podcast, coming to you here on a very cold and wet day in North Wales here on the 6th of December as I'm doing this recording. I've been taking a look, as I say, at these failed Trump prophecies. I was actually going to do one last weekend, but I had so many recordings to do over the weekend that I didn't get time. And in fact, I had a great conversation with Karen and Bonnie from the Deconversion Therapy Podcast. That episode is going to be coming out soon, so look for that. But now, today, on Sunday, I've been doing a lot of research and some more writing, and we're going to take a slightly different tack as we look at these not just failed Trump prophecies, but we want to really answer the question, why is the Christian right amplifying Trump's conspiracy theories? So let's get on into it and see what we can find out in this fourth bonus episode. Beyond the madness of the many failed Trump prophecies laid out in the weeks and months before the 2020 election, which proved, at least in my mind, once and for all, that these charismatic so-called prophets and apostles are nothing more than frauds and charlatans, now we're seeing a new twist, the amplification of Trump conspiracy theories by Christian right activists. But what purpose does that gambit serve? First of all, let's examine the point of why Trump himself is doing so. We know that he laid the groundwork for the explanation of a potential loss months before the election, and in fact, this has long been a page from his playbook. According to an article on ABC News website, Trump loudly protested the results of Obama's victory in 2012, calling the results a, quote, total sham and a travesty, and tweeting out, quote, "We can't let this happen. We should march on Washington and stop this travesty. Our nation is totally divided," end quote. As a candidate in 2016, when he lost the Iowa primary to Ted Cruz, Trump baselessly claimed that Cruz had stolen that win and that he'd committed fraud. And just weeks before the 2016 general election, Trump tweeted, quote, "The election is absolutely being rigged by the dishonest and distorted media pushing crooked Hillary, but also at many polling places, sad," end quote, in all caps. But even though he won the Electoral College votes that ended up putting him into the White House, he still couldn't let go of the fact that he'd lost the popular vote by some 3 million votes. He made this staggering claim shortly after his victory, stating, quote, "In addition to winning the Electoral College in a landslide, I won the popular vote if you deduct the millions of people who voted illegally," end quote. Thus, for Trump, the groundwork has long been laid to push baseless conspiracy theories concerning the results of the 2020 election. He famously stated at a campaign rally in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, on the 17th of August, 2020, he said, quote, "The only way we're going to lose this election is if the election is rigged," end quote. Even now, several weeks past the election, and with the outcome increasingly less in doubt of a Trump victory and a Biden win, Trump is still promoting baseless conspiracy theories and refusing to concede to his Democratic rival. Just moments before major media outlets called the election for Biden, Trump ranted on Twitter. He said, quote, "I won this election by a lot," end quote, in all caps again. Despite the numerous lawsuits filed by Trump's elite strike force legal team, headed up by the buffoonish Rudy Giuliani, whom on a recent Mea Culpa podcast, I thought this was funny, Michael Cohen called him, quote, "a chimpanzee with a machine gun." Almost all of them have been batted down in every state. Currently, I think Trump's lawsuit record stands at 1-46, with other suits sure to collapse soon or be dismissed by judges as totally spurious and utterly lacking in evidence of widespread voter fraud. Trump took directly to Facebook the other day, Wednesday, the 25th of November, 2020, and proceeded to unleash a 45-minute harangue that was marked by the fact that it was increasingly unhinged and untethered from reality. And that's saying something, considering we're talking about Trump here, the conspiracist in chief himself. When trying to analyze his diatribe, pundits have surmised that it was posted directly to Facebook because Trump and his advisors knew that the mainstream media simply wouldn't carry it on their networks. It was so deranged. What did Trump say in his Facebook rant? Among other things, it was essentially a near hour-long diatribe promoting, as usual, baseless and unhinged conspiracy theories all related to the rigged and stolen election that he, in his warped worldview, apparently won by a lot. Even though Attorney General Bill Barr committed the heresy of coming out and stating recently that there had been no evidence of widespread voter fraud nationwide, that didn't stop Trump in the least. You gotta wonder how long is Barr gonna survive before he gets fired too. At the beginning of his speech on Facebook, Trump claimed that, quote, "This may be the most important speech I've ever made," end quote. But of course, Stephen Colbert, host of The Late Show, said of Trump's statement that, quote, "It may be the most impotent speech you've ever made because it was just another rambling mass of lies that lasted a full 46 minutes. My big complaint," said Colbert, "he should have done this a week ago. Not because he said anything worth hearing, but at least the people who canceled a big family Thanksgiving could have pretended they were still eating with their racist uncle," end quote. According to Abigail Weinberg in a December 2nd, 2020 article on Mother Jones, she says, quote, "Trump spent nearly an hour Wednesday repeating the conspiracy theories he has devised to deny President-elect Joe Biden's win, that mail-in ballots from non-citizens and dead people were counted, that glitching voting machines switched votes from Trump to Biden, that the election was the final act in the long con by Democrats, from the Mueller investigation to the impeachment hearings, to strip Trump of power, and that a full audit of the election would reveal Trump as the winner," end quote. Additionally, Trump complained that there were massive dumps of votes for Biden that suspiciously occurred at 3:42 a.m. during the vote counts in Wisconsin. And again, Colbert couldn't resist roasting Trump on this score, also saying incredulously, quote, "Again with the massive dumps? Well, given his cheeseburger at bedtime, 3:42 in the morning sounds about right for him," end quote. So what's Trump's end game? What is the strategy, if indeed there is one, behind Trump's increasingly Looney Tunes conspiracy theories? Note that they've also been pushed by his legal team, his cracked legal team, that is, headed by the sweaty, eye-bulging disgrace of a former New York mayor, Rudy Giuliani, and the rest of the lawyers representing Trump in his increasingly failing lawsuits. But even far-right conspiracist attorney Sidney Powell proved to be too much of a liability, and she was dismissed by Trump. Although, and I'll talk about this a bit later, she hasn't gone away yet. She continues to appear in places like Georgia alongside equally nutty lawyer and rabid Trump cheerleader Lynn Wood. According to Michael Cruz in a November 13th article on Politico, Trump's endgame is this. He knows that his lawsuits are being dismissed left, right, and center. Trump is experiencing the typical media and political pushback to his increasingly desperate tweets shouting in all caps, "We will win," or "illegal votes and illegal ballots being cast." But to focus on countering Trump or to fact-check him is to miss the crucial point of it all, says Cruz. And what is the point exactly? Well, Cruz explains. He says, quote, "The shocking lack of specifics, which Trump's critics mock as laughably unserious for something so consequential, is not a deficiency. It is the feature of his strategy." He goes on, "Trump is not making a narrow, surgically, legally feasible case to enhance his chances to be still living in the White House come January 21st. That's improbable. He's not doing this either to win the argument. It's almost mathematically impossible." And Cruz says, he concludes by saying, "He's doing it, say political strategists, longtime Trump watchers, and experts on authoritarian tactics, to sow doubt, save face, and strengthen, even in defeat, his lifeblood of a bond with his political base," end quote. Cruz has, I believe, hit the nail on the head here. Trump knows deep down that he didn't win the election fair and square. He lost to Biden by over 7 million votes and did not carry the Electoral College either. But if he keeps riling up his base with bogus claims of conspiracy theories, rigged, fraudulent, and stolen elections, it keeps his base angry and it plays on their fears. What fears exactly? that nefarious forces are really in control of things. The deep state, or communist China, global cabals, vast conspiracies to steal the election that he rightfully won. The data backs this up, too. According to Chris Kahn, in a November 18th article on the Reuters site, he says, quote, about half of all Republicans believe Donald Trump rightfully won the U.S. election, but that it was stolen from him by widespread voter fraud that favored Democratic President-elect Joe Biden, according to a new Reuters Ipsos opinion poll, end quote. The problem with this development? Trump's continued defiance in the face of all evidence to the contrary and his promoting of unfounded conspiracy theories are undermining Americans' faith in democracy itself and free and fair voting, which is, of course, the very bedrock of democracy. As a result of Trump's relentless onslaught on democracy and the truth itself, more Americans are now suspicious about the American election process itself than they were just 4 years ago. Looking at the numbers off the back of the Reuters poll, about 73% of all Americans believe that Biden rightfully won the election fair and square, with about 5% thinking that Trump actually won. But among Republicans, even for those who may grudgingly admit that Biden won it, there's still a very high degree of suspicion concerning how Biden actually achieved his victory. According to Kahn, quote, 52% of Republicans said that Trump rightfully won, while only 29% said that Biden had rightfully won, end quote. A full 68% of Republicans, when queried as to why they had concerns about the election results, stated that they believed the election was quote-unquote rigged. And of course, for Trump, the grifter, and con man, there's another whole angle to the whole narrative too, a possibility for profit. According to Cruz in that Politico article, Trump is rightly concerned about his financial future. He's got a lot of lawsuits pending hanging over his head. Since the election, though, he's already raised some $200 million off his supporters for his supposed legal defense fund. For his article, Cruz interviewed Professor Lawrence Douglas, who teaches at Amherst. He's a professor of law, jurisprudence, and social thought. He's also the author of a book that came out in May about Trump titled Will He Go? On this issue of Trump's future profitability, Lawrence informed Cruz, says, quote, if you hold out that possibility, this issue of him making money, it guarantees that he just kind of remains relevant, remains in the spotlight, remains a source of chaos, disorder, and division, which is what he seems to thrive on, end quote. As Michael Cohen points out in his book Disloyal, one thing that assisted Trump mightily in the run-up to the 2016 election was the free press. And what Michael Cohen meant was, he said, it's not free as in freedom of the press, he says, but rather it's free as in free media coverage. Every time Trump said or did something outrageous, the media jumped on it and ran with it, and that became the storyline of the day. That is, until Trump tweeted out or said something the next day even more outrageous. He's a master of creating the news cycle and spinning it. He absolutely loves the fact that he can manipulate the press so easily and thus remain in the spotlight. Plus, he's used this tactic incredibly effectively to distract the nation from the latest scandal or outrage he's committed, and it works every single time. Trump is using the same playbook now, and once again, the media and the public appear to be falling for his tactics. When we come back from the break, we're going to look at the Christian right connection and try to answer this question, why in the world are they, of all people, amplifying Trump's conspiracy theories? We're just going to take a minute and talk about what's coming up here in the next few weeks on Mindshift Podcast. What are the next few episodes coming out? Well, I hope you enjoyed the episode that just dropped the other day with Dean Crosetz talking about how he escaped from charismatic Christianity. And of course, we did cover some of this stuff about the Seven Mountains Mandate Dominion Theology, which he was involved in when he was a church leader, a sort of a pastor figure down in Houston, Texas years ago. And that obviously has relevance to what I've been covering in these bonus episodes, as well as sort of my look overall at Dominion theology. After that, in the next couple of weeks, we're going to have Rebecca Drumsta. That's a really interesting conversation. She comes out of a very fundamentalist cult-like background, a Bible cult background. We both had the Bill Gothard stuff in common growing up. And so we had a really good conversation about her backstory, how she got out, all the deconstruction that went on, and then the rebuilding, the reconstruction. And now that she's a life coach, she's in a really good position to help other people sort of get their resources together and work toward rebuilding and recovering their authentic identity post-religion. And then I've got a chat coming up with Seven, a rapper out of Jacksonville, Florida. I've mentioned him as well before. He has a really interesting backstory too. He told me all about his story about how he was on staff at a massive mega church down in the South, headed up by a self-described redneck pastor. He thought it was great until he found out that he was really the only black guy on the staff. He was actually the token black guy on the staff for their reasons, and we'll find out why that is when we listen to that episode coming up after the one with Rebecca Drumster. But that's a fascinating story. And then I chatted just the other day with Paul James Caden. I was just on his show a couple of weeks ago, the Mind's Eye podcast. You can catch those episodes. So I returned the favor and had Paul on the show. So that'll be coming up at some point as well. And then I mentioned that I talked to Karen and Bonnie just last week as I'm doing this recording from the Deconversion Therapy podcast. We had a really good conversation. Those episodes will be coming out partly on their show, I think, and then on mine as well. So look for those too coming out maybe as bonus episodes. So that's the content that's coming up. I'm also in talks with Frank Schaefer now. We're looking to book him in for a podcast recording and also on the 13th of this month for a Zoom call. So I'll talk a little bit more about that on the next break too. So tons of content coming down the pipeline. So stay tuned. Make sure and subscribe on Podbean, iTunes, or my YouTube channel. That will keep you abreast of what's going on. And all the new episodes that as they drop will come out, and you won't miss anything. All right, let's get back into this issue of why is the Christian right amplifying Trump's conspiracy theory? Let's take a look at this Christian right connection. Although I've done three episodes now on what the so-called prophets and apostles have been saying about their failed Trump re-election prophecies, I've been picking up on another major overlap between what they're saying and what Trump is saying in terms of conspiracy theories around the election. And I've been talking about this in these three episodes. And although I've been focusing on the more charismatic side of evangelicalism, I've also been keeping an eye on the folks in the Christian right. Most of these folks are on the non-charismatic side, but nonetheless, they're just as rabid Trump supporters as their charismatic brothers and sisters. Just to do some opposition research, I watch a lot of YouTube videos, I read articles on evangelical websites, and occasionally I'll listen to Christian podcasts just to keep abreast of what these folks are talking about. One of the podcasts I listen to about once every couple of months is a show called Stand in the Gap Radio, which is hosted by former Pennsylvania Republican Representative Sam Rohr. He's a graduate of Bob Jones University. Sam Rohr, he's the head of the American Pastors Network, which is a branch of the organization Let Freedom Ring, Inc. Now, what's that organization about? Well, according to their website, they are a nonprofit, nonpartisan public policy think tank with annual revenues, in 2015 anyway, of nearly $1 million a year. Their mission, according to the website, quote, to promote constitutional government, economic freedom, and traditional values, end quote. What do they mean when they say constitutional government? Well, it's that they desire American lawmakers to adhere to the original intent of the framers of the Constitution. Now, to me, that sounds suspiciously like a lot of evangelicals' biblical hermeneutics. We used to talk about the original intent of the authors of the Bible. So that's a very similar kind of talking point. And when they say traditional values, of course they mean traditional family values, heterosexual marriage, that is, as the basic building block of society. They're talking about traditional marriage and the sanctity of life, which is code words for pro-life, anti-abortion. Essentially, what Let Freedom Ring is, they're a political action committee. They seek to influence legislators to vote their way and enact the conservative legislation that they favor. Among other initiatives promoted by Let Freedom Ring, Inc., they are pushing one called We Need a Fence, which, according to their website, is all about, quote, advocating the construction of a state-of-the-art physical barrier along our southern border as part of an overall border security strategy, end quote. That statement right there should tell you everything you need to know about Let Freedom Ring, Inc. The fact that Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Radio, is part of this organization, that should also start to clue you in as to where he's coming from. That and the fact that he's the head of a very large and influential organization, the American Pastors Network, is also a concern. That means that Rohr, along with his co-host, Dr. Gary Dull, evangelist Dave Kistler, and Pastor Isaac Crockett, have a potentially outsized influence with a great number of American pastors and evangelicals who tune in regularly to the show. The episode of Stand in the Gap Radio that caught my eye as I was getting ready to head to work a few mornings ago was one entitled provocatively, "If We Don't Get This Right, Our Nation is Done." The episode originally aired on the 30th of November, 2020. Looking further into the show's description before I downloaded it, I knew I was on to a winner when I saw who the guest was, a certain Leo Homan, who bills himself as an investigative reporter and independent freelance journalist. I knew I had to download that episode, and I looked forward to listening in on my drive to work that morning. But why was I so interested in Leo Homan? Well, Leo Homan had come to my attention a few months ago when I'd stumbled across an article he'd written on his blog on the 23rd of October 2020 in the run-up to the presidential election. Now, let's talk about Leo Homan for a minute. He's also rabidly Islamophobic, which maybe comes as no surprise. He came out with a book in 2017 entitled Stealth Invasion, Muslim Conquest Through Immigration and the Resettlement Jihad. According to the Amazon description of the book, it's all about warning everyone about the following insidious threat. Quote, "Americans are shocked by ongoing news report chronicling growing chaos in Europe, where massive Muslim migration is wreaking havoc on the continent, including horrendous acts of mass terrorism, an epidemic of rape and sexual assault against European women, and large jihadist-rich enclaves where even police are hesitant to enter. Yet, few realize that America is heading down the same suicidal path," end quote. You're starting to get the picture as to who this Leo Homan is yet? Now, I don't want to go too far into the weeds talking about Homan, but there's one other interesting fact about him, and that's this. In addition to being a supposedly independent journalist and anti-Islamic author, Homan is also a regular contributor on the website WorldNet Daily, or WND. What's WND? Well, it's an American news and opinion website that's been accused of not only being far right, it's also known that they promote a wide number of conspiracy theories, too. In fact, the site, which was originally founded by one Joseph Farah in either 1997, 1999, right around there, they initially gained notoriety by promoting the baseless birther conspiracy theory. You know, the one that Barack Obama was, in fact, not born in Hawaii, but rather in Kenya, and that because of this, he was unfit to be president. And of course, this was initially pushed by the contributor to WND conspiracy theorist and columnist Jerome Corsi, and then was picked up and amplified massively by Donald Trump. WND is also virulently anti-Islamic and has been accused of, by the Southern Poverty Law Center, being an extremist group guilty of peddling white nationalism. They also sell survivalist gear, too. In 2010, WND hosted a Taking America Back national conference tour. According to an article on the Southern Poverty Law Center website about WND and this conference, they note, quote, "Far-right luminaries in the 2010 speaker lineup included U.S. Representative Michelle Bachmann, former Saturday Night Live cast member Victoria Jackson, former U.S. Representative Tom Tancredo, who is a Republican out of Colorado, anti-gay hate group leader and Christian Reconstructionist theologian Gary DeMar, and R.C. Sproul Jr., a mover and shaker in the theocratic Christian patriarchy movement and a prominent homeschooling advocate," end quote. What caught my attention was the mention of Gary DeMar, whom I've researched in my work on Christian Reconstructionism. What's a guy like DeMar doing speaking at a WND national conference? But according to the SPLC article, there's even a deeper connection to Christian Reconstructionism and the WND. Among the WND board members is a certain Wayne Johnson. Who's he? I'd never heard of him before. The article clarifies, quote, "Johnson, who has been on WND's board since 1999, is a Sacramento political consultant whose firm, according to the Raw story, coordinated the campaign for California's Proposition 8, which sought to outlaw same-sex marriage in that state. Until June 2002, he was a board member of the Chalcedon Foundation, a Christian Reconstructionist outfit and anti-gay hate group," end quote. And of course, we know that the Chalcedon Foundation was founded by R.J. Rush Dooney. So there's an interesting connection there. This is all really fascinating research, but let's get back to Homan before we get too far down the rabbit hole. The reason I bring up all that research is I just wanted to let you know what sort of circles he's running in. Therefore, in addition to being rabidly Islamophobic and connected to the extremist group WorldNet Daily, Homan is also a far-right conservative evangelical and a champion of unhinged conspiracy theories. Now, returning to that article that I was talking about on his blog, leohoman.com, The title of the post that I read a few months ago was this: Bracing for a Dark Winter, and Dark Winter is in all caps. Written shortly after the first presidential debate between Biden and Trump, Homan, who's of course a rabid Trumpist, claimed that Trump had trounced Biden and that Biden's performance was hesitant and stumbling. From Homan's point of view, this was certainly not the behavior of a worthwhile presidential candidate. But beyond his prediction that Biden couldn't possibly win, because at the time he was hiding in his basement, according to Homan, things took a bizarre and sinister turn within a few paragraphs on his article. Homan immediately started hinting that Biden seemed so certain of his win that it was almost like he knew something the rest of us didn't. Let the conspiracy thinking begin. Why was Homan so suspicious? Well, according to him, after watching the debate and seeing how badly Biden performed, but wondering why he came off so confident, he was immediately suspicious. He stated, quote, "The way Biden is acting, it's almost as if he'd been told not to worry. The outcome is not going to be decided by vote tallies. With that in mind," he says, "let's think outside the box and examine some possibilities that may sound insane until we detach ourselves from our normalcy bias," end quote. Translation, set aside all your critical thinking skills, your so-called normalcy bias, and listen to my crackpot conspiracy theory that I'm about to lay out for you. Homan predicted that if Biden should win the election, there immediately would come a second COVID lockdown, one much harsher than the first and with nefarious intentions. Homan says ominously that, quote, "During the debate, Biden held up his black mask, looked straight into the camera, and said, 'We're about to go into a dark winter,'" end quote. Was this merely a slip of the tongue by Biden, or was it a foreboding prediction of something far darker that lies ahead? According to Homan, Biden's entire 47-year political career had been spent prostituting himself for his globalist masters, such that now his words are meaningless and should be dismissed. Dismissed, that is, until he starts speaking in code or in symbolic terms. Aha! Thus the phrase dark winter is, according to Homan anyway, code for Operation Dark Winter that was carried out, allegedly, by the U.S. government in 2001. Homan claims, quote, "The federal government carried out Operation Dark Winter in June 2001, a simulation exercise focused on how to respond to a covert biological attack using a super strain of smallpox from an unknown source. It involved draconian lockdowns, rioting in the streets, and military intervention to quell the chaos," end quote. Rather than go on, you can see where Homan is going with his conspiracy theorist thinking. The way he sees it, should Biden win the presidency, he'll immediately institute Operation Dark Winter and close down American society, the end game of which, according to Homan, is to shut down churches. That's what he's really all about. He wants to put an end to the cherished American religious liberties that evangelicals hold so dear. Oh, and incidentally, he also labeled Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer a communist because she publicly endorsed Biden, and she warned of more severe lockdowns in the future if the current situation under Trump continued on if he were to win. So after ranting on about how the left would flood the streets and unleash chaos on Election Day, which didn't happen, obviously, Homan concludes his post with some dire warning for his readers. He states ominously, quote, "We ignore the new reality at our own risk. These threats are real. We should take them as a clear indicator that either way, whether their man Biden wins or loses, they are coming after us. We must be prepared for that inevitability. Do not ignore the symbolism in last night's debate. Biden is the child of darkness who answers to his puppet masters, who are globalist and Luciferian. Trump is the child of light who brings at least the hope of better days ahead," end quote. So, at the risk of getting too far off into the weeds, this hopefully gives you a clearer picture of who Leo Homan is. So why in the world would Stand in the Gap Radio, an allegedly Christian news show that reports on matters from a biblical and constitutional perspective, why would they want a conspiracy theorist and nut job like him on as a guest? Turns out, they believe in the same conspiracy theories as he does. And in fact, this was far from the first time he'd been on the show. He's apparently a regular guest. When we come back from the break, we are going to get into Leo Homan's appearance on Stand in the Gap Radio and talk about how the Christian right is continuing to amplify Trump's crackpot and bizarre, unhinged conspiracy theories and why they're doing it. I just wanted to give a thank you to Mark Wilkes. Mark is the latest supporter of this show on Patreon. He has supported the show at a $10 a month level. And once I get all the details squared away from Mark, I'll be sending him his gift, which is a free Mindshift Podcast t-shirt. I've also been busy sending out some of my gifts from North Wales. I've finally been able to start buying them again here as stores have been open. I had a little trouble yesterday. I went to the post office and because of the COVID restrictions, had to wait outside for about 20 minutes. And when I got to the door, they closed. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to wait a little bit sending the gifts to the latest supporters that I mentioned in the last episode who supported the show at a $5 a month level. So what do you get for being a supporter of the show? What are the benefits? Well, for one thing, you get access to these episodes early. I always drop them on Wednesdays, so they come out a few days before they drop everywhere else, which is on Fridays. You at least on the bonus episodes get them a day early. I tend to drop them on a Sunday and then everywhere else on the Monday. So you'll get those even a day early. You also get access to the closed Mindshift Podcast Facebook group. And it's in there that we have our monthly Mindshift Podcast Zoom calls. We had two last month. We had Peter Montgomery from the Right Wing Watch. And then later we had Sam Perry and Andrew Whitehead, who wrote the book Taking America Back for God. Both of those are now uploaded on the Mindshift Podcast Facebook page. If you want to go over and see those, but if you want to be a part of those calls, you have to be in the group. You have to support the show on Patreon. We have got, I think now for sure confirmed, on the 13th of December, Frank Schaefer. He's coming back and he's going to be our guest on the Mindshift Zoom call for December. And then in January, we've got Rebecca Drumsta, and that episode is coming out soon here on the show. So some really cool stuff. I've also been talking with Dean Crosetts about coming in at some point in the new year too. So fantastic, amazing benefits for being a supporter of this show on Patreon. Much appreciated. Helps me cover my expenses and helps me keep this show going, and all the work that I do makes it worthwhile. So let's finish up looking at this question of why in the world are the Christian right supporting and amplifying the conspiracy theories of Donald Trump? What's in it for them? What's their end game? Let's break it all down as we take a closer look at this episode of the Stand in the Gap Radio and what guest Leo Homan had to say. On this particular episode of Stand in the Gap Radio that I was talking about, host Sam Rohr began the show by exulting in the fact that Trump had recently pardoned disgraced former National Security Advisor General Michael Flynn the day before Thanksgiving. And as it turned out, the very title of that day's episode was taken from a statement that Flynn had made on a related show entitled Worldview Weekend TV, hosted by a certain Brannon House on the weekend of the 28th, 29th of November. When asked about the so-called fraudulent election that appeared to have granted the victory for Biden, Flynn encouraged Americans to read the court filings for themselves rather than relying on snippets from the media. He told Brannon House, quote, "You really do have to go and dig into the filings instead of reading a soundbite here and there, because it's our life, it's our country. This is the time in our history that if we don't get this right, this country is done. It will be over as we know it. And as I stand here talking to you, I'm not standing here for me, I'm standing here for my children, my grandchildren, and frankly, the beacon of hope that we are as a country," end quote. So that's where they got the title of that Stand in the Gap Radio episode from, although slightly different from Flynn's original statement. And of course, on the Worldview Weekend interview, Flynn went on to argue that Trump and his supporters need not be concerned. Despite the seeming evidence to the contrary, there were still clear paths to victory in all the swing states that apparently Trump has lost. And on the show, Flynn stated emphatically, quote, "I do not believe for one second that our country will accept Vice President Joe Biden as the next president," end quote. So according to Rohr, as informed by his guest Leo Homan, there is a Marxist-Leninist coup that is not only real, not a conspiracy theory at all, it's actually happening even as we speak. They are in the process of stealing this election, which is, quote, "the greatest fraud that our country has ever experienced," end quote, according to Flynn anyway. When asked about General Flynn's statement that if we don't get this right in the next 2 weeks, our nation is finished, and what that meant, Homan replied, quote, "I think what General Flynn was trying to tell us there, Sam, is that we have some really bad actors, both foreign and domestic, working in concert to overthrow not just a presidency, but our entire system of government. We're talking about fraud, not voter fraud, because that does not communicate the depth and breadth of what happened in that week of November 3rd. We're talking about a massive fraud on such a scale that it should not even be called vote fraud or voter fraud. This was election fraud. It was systemic. And he concludes, and it happened in probably almost every state, but particularly in 5 or 6 battleground states, as you know, end quote. What evidence does Homan provide? Well, he argued, for example, that over 700,000 mail-in ballots were fraudulently cast in Pennsylvania, whether they were printed off elsewhere and mailed in, or something else even more clever. That's just how good these election fraudsters were, because they were able to so easily bypass all the election protocols. And of course, the fact that the media called it early, well, says Homan, the media is biased. And unfortunately, we can't rely on the courts because judges don't have the courage to stand up and do what's right and rule in favor of Trump as they should. But who's this mysterious international cabal that's behind it all? Well, obviously, the Democrats are the ones who have orchestrated the whole thing in league with the lamestream media. But hold on to your hats. According to Homan, it's actually Communist China. That's the true puppet master here. Building off of General Flynn's statements on that Worldview Weekend TV episode concerning China's involvement in election meddling, host Sam Rohr claimed that most Americans agree that the evidence of voter fraud is both clear and indisputable. Statistically, that's untrue, however. According to that Reuters poll that I mentioned at the top of the show, we know that 73% of all Americans actually believe that Biden won the election fairly. It's about half of the Republicans who don't believe that Trump actually lost, and that's probably the base that I guess Rohr's talking about. But of course, facts and statistics be damned. The lamestream media would say that, wouldn't they? Ah. According to Homan and Mike Flynn, the Chinese have refined the art of psychological warfare. In other words, get the media on your side, repeat the lies often enough, and eventually the public will simply start believing whatever you tell them. And in his article on Flynn's statement that he wrote on his website, Homan lays out exactly how the Chinese communists have mastered this art. And somehow, although he doesn't provide any evidence of this, they have been able to carry out their plot, he says, in the United States masterfully, apparently working in concert with the Democrats to bring about this election fraud against the American people. Now, even though no evidence exists of a connection between the Democrats, Joe Biden, and the Chinese communists, none of that matters to Leo Homan. As he sees it, this is all part of China's long-term plans to become the sole superpower on the planet. And in the 2020 election, they saw their chance to install their man in the White House. The voting systems, they're not even owned by this country, claims Homan. The voting machines aren't even made in America. The ballots are not even tallied in this country, he said. Such clear evidence of fraud and vote manipulation. It's all about, he says, good versus evil and communism versus the God-given freedoms that Americans have been given. The fact is, according to Homan, most Americans are oblivious to the threat of communism and the weaponization of voter fraud. Homan goes on to say, quote, these are the forces that are behind this weaponization of election fraud that we've seen play out before our very eyes over the last few weeks. So we have to look at what's going on in our country with a realistic set of eyes. He concludes, with the way the Democrats and their globalist puppet masters are reacting, it bears all the hallmarks of a Marxist, Leninist, Stalinist revolution, end quote. Then things took a turn for the weird and even, I would say, the absolutely dangerous and irresponsible. As the interview went on, Sam Rohr and Leo Homan started talking about, they moved beyond just conspiracies. They started talking about some comments on that same Worldview Weekend TV with Brannon House after Michael Flynn was on that show. Then they brought on Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney. He's a Air Force retired general. And he started talking about how the courts are not going to come through for Trump. And now, reading from an article that Leo Homan wrote on his website, Leo Homan says, quote, despite massive amounts of evidence of widespread irregularities, many judges appear either unable or unwilling to sort through allegations of rigged voting machines and dozens of affidavits from eyewitnesses to ballot stuffing, denial of Republican poll watchers from observing the process, evidence of more votes cast in hundreds of precincts than were registered to vote, and a host of other irregularities, end quote. Now, look what General McInerney said and has the approval of both Rohr and Homan. General McInerney said on this November 29th interview with Brannon House, quote, when you coordinate 6 to 10 states using cyber warfare to change the outcome of the election in favor of whoever you want, These are treasonous acts, end quote, said McInerney. And he goes on to say, quote, these are not just fraudulent acts, they are treasonous acts because it means changing the government. And then when they add Russia, China, and Iran, foreigners into it, you complicate it and make it even more treasonous. So, cyber warfare and the Dominion voting systems, which we're talking about in Georgia, Michigan, and several other states, Pennsylvania as well, using Hammer and Scorecard, which are ballot manipulation software attacks. And he concludes, plus, has anyone seen the Justice Department or FBI in any of this? That is very worrisome, end quote. Now, here's what's really troublesome. They started talking about, apparently, an executive order that Trump signed on September 12, 2018. That allows the president to declare a state of emergency related to foreign intervention in U.S. elections. Now, listen to what McInerney said about this executive order that Trump signed in 2018. He said, quote, he, that is Trump, has got to declare a national emergency. He should also use the Insurrection Act, because we have an insurrection right now in this country when you look at Antifa and BLM, Black Lives Matters, plus other groups. He concludes, he must suspend habeas corpus as President Lincoln did in 1861 and Franklin Roosevelt did in 1942 when World War II started, end quote. Now, I don't know if the general got it right, but he can't be much of a general because World War II started in 1939 and America entered the war in 1941. It didn't start in 1942, but whatever. He got his facts wrong, but he's gotten everything else wrong too. So why should we listen to General McInerney? And of course, both Rohr and Homan heartily agreed with what General McInerney was saying. So we've gone from just conspiracy theory thinking. Now we are talking about an executive order that Trump apparently signed in 2018. And McInerney and others are saying now it's time for Trump to declare a national emergency, declare the election results null and void, and call the whole thing off. And that is why he can and should stay in office. This is going way beyond just peddling crackpot conspiracy theories. They're actually saying, hey, Trump, you should do this. Imagine as if Trump needs any encouragement to pull out an executive order that he signed a couple years ago, declare some sort of a national emergency, and call the election results with Biden winning null and void. This is the kind of stuff that people like Sam Rohr, Leo Homan, obviously Michael Flynn, General McInerney, these people on the far right, not only are they pushing conspiracy theories, they're taking it now another step further and advocating basically that Trump call the election null and void and say, I'm not going to leave office. This is a bogus result. And so this could be where this whole thing is going. This is extremely dangerous, extremely irresponsible behavior. And again, we're talking about Christians, evangelicals who are promoting this nonsense. Now, I don't want to spend too much time on Leo Homan and his crackpot conspiracy theories, but just note how they're virtually identical to what former Trump lawyer Sidney Powell stated at the press conference hosted a few weeks ago by the sweating Rudy Giuliani. You know, the one where his hair dye started running down his cheeks under the hot lights. Well, according to Graham Massey in an article in The Independent posted on the 23rd of November at that press conference, quote, Ms. Powell claimed that Mr. Trump had won the election by a landslide, but had been cheated by an algorithm designed by Dominion voting systems in their ballot machines. Ms. Powell claimed that the fraud was controlled by figures including George Soros, the Clinton Foundation, communists from Venezuela, Cuba, and China, and corrupt election officials. He concludes, she claimed that Dominion voting system machines were created in Venezuela at the direction of the late Hugo Chavez, so he never lost an election, end quote. Unfortunately for Powell, shortly after that deranged press conference, Trump's legal team took to Twitter to distance themselves from her and to insist that she no longer worked for Trump. However, despite this apparent setback, she's been seen filing lawsuits recently in places like Georgia. She's also appeared recently in Atlanta at a Trump rally-like press conference with fellow attorney and Trump cheerleader Lynn Wood. Attendees chanted, "Stop the steal" and "Lock him up." Who are they talking about? Well, they were referring to the state's Republican governor, Brian Kemp. Talk about ironic, huh? This latest move is, incidentally, causing a major headache for Republicans since Lynn Wood urged Georgia voters to boycott the upcoming Senate vote. Why? Well, obviously, since the Trump election was rigged, why waste your vote on a fraudulent system? But this is surely too ironic. If Georgia Republicans are that gullible and stay home on Election Day, then surely their Democratic rivals will win. This latest development has forced Trump and his GOP advisors to try and convince Georgia voters not to boycott the election, like Lynn Wood advises, but to get out and vote Republican in January. All right, let's conclude. As we wrap this whole thing up, what's the upshot of it all? As I've been mentioning in the first three bonus episodes talking about these failed Trump prophecies, it's abundantly clear that the prophets that confidently predicted a Trump landslide are now scrambling to justify and explain away their failed prophecies. They're also amplifying Trump's conspiracy theories. But that's on the charismatic side of evangelicalism. Surely the hard-nosed Christian right, who would likely disavow these nutjob charismatics, surely they would take a more balanced view? Well, as we've been seeing, the answer is no. Their support for Trump is inextricably bound to a Christian nationalist narrative that holds that since America was founded expressly as a Christian nation by the founding fathers, Trump is the key. He's the savior, helping them to return the nation to its godly heritage and heal the land and have God bless us again. In this, they're actually talking about taking dominion over the nation. We've moved beyond talk of evangelizing and sharing the gospel with your friends, your neighbors, your relatives, and coworkers. When they speak of revival in the land, this is actually code for Christians taking dominion. In other words, Christianizing the nation and ultimately the world. As they saw it, Trump was their ticket to achieving this end and achieving dominion. And now that it appears he's about to be booted out of the White House come January, their heads are exploding. And thus, the only way they can explain away the fact that he was God's chosen man for such a time as this is to accept that he lost due to a massive global conspiracy. So this is where we're at currently. The problem I have with nuts like Leo Homan and the hosts of Stand in the Gap Radio as they amplify these unhinged conspiracy theories, it's as I said before, a huge number of garden variety evangelicals and their pastors too rely on outlets like Stand in the Gap Radio, Newsmax, One America Network, Breitbart, and so forth for their news. In fact, we've seen a shift. As evangelicals and Trump supporters are beginning to abandon Fox News, they're increasingly getting their, quote, news from such far-right conspiracy theory-laden outlets. Thus, rather than bringing the country together, as surely Christians who claim to stand for peace and who allegedly promote the love of Christ, they're merely furthering the divisions and creating more hatred moving forward. On the bright side, though, for them at least, there's this to think about. The narrative that the only reason Trump lost was because the election was rigged, well, this gives them a wonderful scapegoat for the next 4 years and beyond. As we are seeing, they're already positioning themselves to whip up the fear, anger, and resentment of their base, which, as we already know, it absolutely works. All right, I'm going to let you go. We're done with this episode, the fourth bonus episode. If you have any thoughts, questions, comments, you can reply on iTunes, leave a comment, or drop me a line, drop me a DM. You can follow me on Twitter at MindShift2018. You can also look up and like the MindShift Podcast Facebook page. One thing I would say about YouTube, too, is if you subscribe to that, I've been doing a lot of work trying to whip that channel into shape. I've been organizing my videos into playlists there. So if you want to go look for Christian Dominion Theology or Religious Trauma Syndrome or Deconstructing Christianity, you can find that playlist. And in that playlist on YouTube are the podcasts that I've done on those topics. So it'll save you a lot of time if you're trying to find helpful resources as you deconstruct and reconstruct, or you want to get more information about the Christian right, Dominion Theology, Religious Trauma, whatever you're interested in looking at or hearing about from experts in the field. All right, I will see you in a couple of weeks, maybe with another bonus episode, but look for the ones with Karen and Bonnie from the Deconversion Therapy Podcast, as well as Rebecca Drumstock, coming out in the next couple of weeks here on Mindshift Podcast.